Good morning, everyone. It's going to be a slight change of continent for this one, but I'm just going to talk about some work we've been doing in recent times on the yield potential of winter wheat in Ireland as part of our organisation Chagask. So just for a bit of background, in Ireland the climate is quite conducive to very high wheat yields. So we have an average yield of around 8 tonnes per hectare on a 100% dry matter basis. However, there is also very high costs that goes into growing these crops, and on average it's estimated that about 7.1 tonnes per hectare is needed to cover the variable costs for growing the crop. So as you can see there, there's a very tight margin for farmers to make any profit. And the reason these inputs are so high is because our climate is quite conducive to high disease pressure, which means we have high plant protection inputs. Obviously we grow a big crop, we need a lot of fertiliser, which is expensive, and we have quite expensive establishment cost as well. So farmers, in order to improve their profit margins, they're always striving for increases in yield. However, if we look at in recent times the average annual yield in the country, we see that these efforts haven't really been repaid with greater yield. This kind of progress has slowed, or it is even possibly plateaued. And what that has meant that in recent times, where we've had quite low grain prices, there's been a lot of worries in the sector about the viability of winter wheat in the country. We can see this in some sample articles from our local media, from the Farmers Journal and AgriLand, and they pretty much say the same thing, is that the margin is getting very tight and questioning the viability of winter wheat. So from our point of view, we need to estimate wheat yield potential so that we can inform this debate, I guess. Because if crops in Ireland, which are, as I said before, quite large, if they're coming towards their yield potential and that yield ceiling, further increases in yield will be very difficult and unlikely to pay off in terms of the input that's required. So we wanted to estimate yield potential for Ireland so we could quantify this gap. And we also wanted to be able to do it for different parts of the country, because we do have some variation in terms of climate around Ireland, and therefore if the gap is different depending on where you are in the country, and the factors that are limiting yields are different, then different management strategies would be required. So we want to be able to identify that and inform that. So the way we're going about it is through the creation of the winter wheat yield potential estimation model. And when we were putting this together, we wanted the model to be simple, with the least amount of inputs required. The reason we wanted this is because, as I said before, we want a spatial aspect to be able to move it around the country, and a lot of input data really isn't available for certain parts of Ireland. We also want it to be based on daily measurements of these climatic variables, and that is to allow us to get a look into the effects during the season that might happen on crop growth and development. And then the final thing is, we want it to be based on Irish growth and development data. There has been some estimates for Ireland for winter wheat yield potential in the past, but they varied from somewhere between 11 tonnes per hectare all the way up to 20 tonnes per hectare, depending on the analysis. And most of these analyses are kind of based on larger region analysis, so kind of Europe-wide or global. So what we wanted to do was bring Irish data into the model and then kind of set the parameters of the model based on that data. And we got that data from some monitor crops that we were working on over the last few years that give us benchmark values for crop growth and development through the season. So the model works in three main steps. The first is an estimation of the canopy, because the canopy obviously influences how much light can be intercepted by the crop. From this, then, we have another part that estimates biomass accumulation and how big the crop can get. And then finally, an estimation of how much of that biomass is partitioned into grain. And then this is a value for yield potential. And this is all based on just a few inputs from climatic data: maximum and minimum temperature, radiation and rainfall on a daily basis, and then also slight latitudes for an estimation of photo period. So just to give a little bit more detail on how it works, the first section is the canopy section. Obviously, as you can see from the photos there, as your crop increases, and then senesces, you have a change in how much light is intercepted by it. And the model estimates this based on the benchmark relationship we saw in our monitor crops between thermal time and green area index, which is an estimation of how pretty much big the canopy gets. And this is done for five different stages. And so you see as this curve moves up and down, that's pretty much going to respond with an increase and decrease in light interception. From this, then we bring in the solar radiation data. And from, again, a benchmark radiation use efficiency value that we see from the monitor crops we worked on, we can estimate how much dry matter could be accumulated for that site. And there's also a rainfall aspect at this stage in the form of plant available water capacity, but this is very rarely an issue in Ireland. We have quite a lot of rainfall and plants are generally well above requirements. So then in order to estimate how much is available for grain, it's pretty much a combination of the previous two. From the green area index curve, we can estimate when the maximum happens, and that's kind of relative to anthesis. So anything after, any light intercepted after anthesis, we assume is available for grain production. And then we also assume that 27% of the biomass produced during stem extension is available in the form of assimilates. Okay, so just to give some examples of how we've used the model in recent times, I selected four counties in Ireland, Donegal in the northwest there, Westmeath in the middle, Dublin on the east coast, and Carlow in the southeast. And we've looked at kind of the average farm data for yields in these counties, and then we've run the model for the same time period from 2010-2014 to get an estimation of yield potential. So if you can see from the graph there on the right hand side, the purple bars is the average yield achieved by farmers in those counties during that time, and it's coming in and around 8 tonnes per hectare for each county. If we move then to the red part, which is the maximum reported yield, so the highest performing farm during that time period on average over those years, you see an increase there between about 2 and 3 tonnes per hectare, and that is related to an increase of between 12% to 25% between the average farm and the maximum highest yielding farm in that region. So then if we bring in our estimates using the yield potential model, we see that the estimated yields is coming in and around 14 tonnes per hectare for the same areas. So if we just look, focus for a second on the difference between the top of the purple bar there, which is our average yield, and the top of the blue bar, which is our yield potential, there's a difference of between 40 and 45% of a yield gap between what we estimate the yield potential to be and what average farms are achieving. So a relatively decent sizable gap there. However, if we compare the maximum yields that are being achieved by farmers in those regions and the top of that bar, we see a bit of a more variation in the yield gap. You can see it goes from about 26% up to 35%. So this would be some sort of indication that the yield gap may indeed be different depending on what region of Ireland we're dealing with. And also, some of those lower values, 26%, 28%, while they do seem, you know, relatively decent chunk of a gap, once you get towards 20%, you're getting into the region of difficult to improve yields financially. So there could indeed may be the case that some growers in these regions are approaching their yield potential, and if they want to improve their profitability, they'll have to focus on efficiency of production. Okay, so just to get a better handle of the spatial variation across the country, what we did was we took 13 weather stations around the country, and we looked at their 30-year long-term average weather data. So pretty much the typical weather that would occur in these sites. And then we ran the model to get an estimation of what the current yield potential for the, you know, the current varieties would give us if we got the typical weather at these different sites. And what you can see there, these are at 100% dry matter, by the way, but what you can see there is that they vary from about 12 tonnes per hectare up to 13.5, so a difference of 1.5 tonnes per hectare based on location in the country, with the highest yields seem to come from the coast at the south and the north. However, again, just to remind that, you know, the model doesn't really take into account soil dynamics. And obviously, if we look at just a quick outline of the soil map of Ireland, you can see a massive amount of variation there. And that's going to have a big impact on what the factors are that's limiting the yields in the country. So that's something that we have to, I guess, delve into next and identify how much of that is limiting yields. Okay, so just to have a kind of a quick summary, I guess. If we look at the average farm and the yield potential, that gap that was 40 to 45%, you know, what might be limiting the yield there. And this is, it gets, we're into kind of speculation area here, but a lot of it could be to do with soil management. You know, soil management is becoming a popular term in Ireland now, and it's because it's estimated that 85% of soils in Ireland are deficient for one of the major macronutrients for a particular crop, or pH range. Obviously, we also have that high disease pressure, and then that means that we need really optimal plant protection in order to avoid yield losses due to that. So improvements in these sectors for the average yielding farm could give substantial benefits to achieving more yield. However, then if we look at the difference between the maximum reported yields and the yield potential, we're kind of into more speculative reasons here, and this is something that we have to look into further. But something could be that, you know, based on our model, the benchmark we saw in our model was a very high yielding crop. So we would have picked the slowest relationship, I guess, between thermal time and senescence to improve light interception. So it could be a case that senescence may be occurring a bit quicker in most of these farms. We also have in-field variation. Obviously, those averages for those maximum farms were averages of fields. So some precision management of inputs might benefit that in terms of reducing that variation in the field. And also the model obviously also puts a standard radiation use efficiency on the growing season, which may vary quite substantially. So there could be differences there that we need to look into further. But just to summarise, we estimate the Irish winter wheat yield has a potential of between 12 and 13.5 tonnes per hectare at 100% dry matter. And this would represent about a 40 to 45% yield gap between the yield potential and the average yield of farms are currently achieving, and then a gap of between 25 and 35% for the highest achieving farms in the country at the minute. And the improvements in this could be maybe beneficial from improved soil management and plant protection. Just to acknowledge the funding and the help that we have during the project, and thanks very much. Yeah, I think maybe to a lesser extent, but I think in terms of the department's variety trials we have the same, I guess, that occurs in the Netherlands. We have department variety trials every year, and there would be small increases seen year on year in that, but it's not being seen in the farm. So I guess that's an issue that we have to look into as well, is why that is occurring. It's a good point. I think wheat is usually maybe one of the most important crops in an Irish rotation most of the time. But I would say that, you know, variety choice, we see these new varieties coming onto the market with improved benefits in terms of yield and things like that. But we find that farmer uptake can be slow in terms of improvements in our main issues, which are, you know, disease, septoria, kind of resistance and things like that. So we do find that farmer uptake can be quite slow in things like that. So that might be informing some of the gap in our situation. Sorry, I didn't quite understand. You saying that we use canopy in the model, but we ignore soil?
Yeah,
but
you didn't consider soil conditions in your model.
Yeah.
So do you think means to be consideration of different soil types will have?
Yeah, I think it would have. I think it would have a huge impact. Yeah, you know, I think.
The question is, how do you know this is the maximum potential yield?
Oh, how do I know it's the maximum yield potential? Yeah, well, see.
All conditions are the optimum.
Yeah, so the definition of yield potential could vary, I guess, depending on study. For us, we wanted to set it on, we monitored those crops for a canopy that we could see typically in Ireland. So the canopy that we used was because something that we could observe. Soil dynamics is, I guess, a much more complicated situation that we need to, if we wanted to build it into the model, there's a lot more involved. So as a preliminary approach, I guess, for this, we wanted to see if you have the canopy that we do see in the crop and you use that standard radiation sufficiency, what could you get? So that's kind of a max. I guess when we bring in your potential, or sorry, soil dynamics after that, like you saw on the west coast, very, very high yield potential there. But the soil issues over there would likely take away a lot of that yield potential and be blocking a lot of that. So I do think when we if we do in the future incorporate soil into it, it will have a large impact. But the reason we just started with just canopy was just to get an estimate of the highest value first, because soil will likely be a more complicated issue.
Okay.